Acts the third chapter. I want to preach to you a familiar to some story in two different veins. It's not complicated, and I'm not trying to complicate it. But my purpose has a dual nature this morning. Because in the story, in the narrative, there are three individuals who are all being impacted by a fourth. The fourth you cannot see, because the fourth is working in two of the individuals. And he is the most important person on the earth. His name is the Holy Spirit. And because of the nature of the text, I can't address just one aspect. I have to address both. Because you have two individuals who are now a former Jewish tradition who have now converted to Christianity but are still going to the old order. And when they get there, because they've been changed, they can't do what everybody else does in the old order. So for you to understand it, let's read the text this morning and then you will get my nature. The Word of God declares in Acts the third chapter that now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. This is 3 p.m. being the ninth hour. This is how we know it's 3 p.m. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for some money. He asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And so the man said, "All right, I'm going to look at you because I need some money." And the Bible says, and he gave heed unto them, this is the lame man, expecting to receive something from them. And verse 6 declares, and then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, being the lame man, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Here's where we want to go. And verse 8 declares, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Just look at your neighbor real quick and say, get ready for a jump start. Hallelujah. Woo, I felt that anointing right there. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. is sharper than any two-edged sword. His purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of the heart. Father, I pray that you speak such a word to us today that it changes not some things, but everything. That it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. That it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive that word. Touch every ear so that it can hear what the Spirit has to say. Father, the most important thing today and all day is that you have your way. You get glory. You fulfill your agenda. So we remove ourselves out of the way. And we say, have your way in this place. Do whatever you want to do. This is your house and we are your people. And we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, you agree, shout amen. Turn to your neighbor before you sit down real quick. Smile, come on, as bright as you can. And say, get ready for a jump start. Get ready for a jump start. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It was around the turn of the 20th century that a pioneering psychologist named Alfred Adler proposed something called a counterintuitive theory of compensation. That sounds like a big fancy title, but basically what it means is that Adler believed that perceived disadvantages often prove to be disguised as advantages because they force us to develop attitudes and abilities that would have otherwise gone undiscovered. In other words, what Adler is saying is that when you have things in your life that put you at a disadvantage, the disadvantage is disguised, if you will, as an advantage because it's going to create in you mindsets and abilities that you did not even know that you had on the inside of you. In other words, what he's trying to say is that as we compensate for those disadvantages, that is when our greatest gifts are revealed. The text says that Peter and John was walking into the temple as it was their custom. Now you have to understand that Peter and John are not the Peter or John of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are now the Peter or John of Acts. They are now filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They've gone through all of their disadvantaged moments that worked to their advantage, that shaped and changed their character in such a way that they were no longer the individuals that people had known them to be. They were at a different phase in their life, and they had transitioned from being insecure about their abilities to knowing to the hope to which they were called. They were sure of their election. They were absolute about their destiny. They knew exactly what God had intended for them to do, and they had no absolute doubt in their heart that they were going to fulfill the assignment that God had given them. And the Bible says as they're walking into the temple, they see a man who was lame. And the word of God gives us the description of this man. And he says he was like this from birth. He was disadvantaged from his very birth. He was disadvantaged because he was born this way. And the Bible says that he would show up and be carried to the temple every day. And as they had prayer on the occasion, they had it at 9 a.m., they had it at 12 noon, and they also had it at 3 p.m. And so this is the hour of prayer, the ninth hour at 3 p.m. And you can only imagine the man has been sitting out here all day. Not only has he been sitting out here all day, the Bible gives us a description of his age. He's 40 years old. And as the Word of God tells us, he's 40 years old. He's been out there for a very long time. And it dawned on me that this man, being of the age that he was, had had to experience the ministry of Jesus Christ, because this is the same beautiful gate that Jesus would pass through many times as he went into the temple. And so it amazes me that Jesus also had to see this man at that very gate during his ministry, and yet saw him begging and nothing happened. Look at your name and say, Jesus ain't passed you by. Come on here. Come on here. He sees exactly where you are. Could it be that he marked the man for a greater glory that was yet to come, because he wanted his disciples, who were going to be the launching pad of the church, to be able to do something, the work that he did? The Bible says, greater works shall they do also. And so could it have been that the Lord was waiting for the right moment and the right time and the right place, and that he marked this man's moment of breakthrough and deliverance, but it wasn't going to show up when the man thought it was going to show up? Now, if I was preaching it from the man's perspective, number one, you have to understand that I would be a little bit upset with Jesus, because I know he can heal, I know he can deliver, and I know he can set free, because I'm lame, I'm not deaf, y'all ain't said nothing. And I had to hear the testimony of all the people that got healed, the guy with the eyes and the person that was dead. I wish I had help from somebody. The man with the withered hand and the woman with the issue of blood. This man was at this gate for years and had to hear stories of people walking in the church about somebody getting a breakthrough and somebody getting a blessing and somebody getting a healing, but yet he still stuck at this gate. He had to sit there and beg people who were supposed to be children of the Most High God, walk into the church and don't even regard this man as anything, and all he was reduced to is somebody that can beg for help. And can you imagine seeing Jesus and knowing his power and his capacity, and seeing him walk past and not even have the wherewithal to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me? For the Bible never says he had a conversation with the Lord, but I know he saw him. That means in his mind, he was resolved to living in this state and this condition, and he grew accustomed to the disadvantage, that he did not see the advantage in being disadvantaged. I wish I had somebody in here to help me. That means for years he had resolved in this mind, I was born like this, and therefore I'm going to stay like this. Look at your name and say, it ain't gotta go down like that. Because when the Lord decides to show up in your life in any capacity that he wants to, you can be changed forever. Go and touch your neighbor and say, I need that type of change. Come on here. My God, you have to understand that this man had to experience the testimony of others, because he made it his mission to sit in front of the church and beg for money. He had to be successful at it, because he wouldn't allow his friends to carry him there every day, three times a day. Can you imagine going to church back then? Every day? Three times a day? It's a whole nother preacher right there. He had to be good at it, because he decided that this was my best shot at life. I'll get back to the man in just a second. On the other hand, you have people going into the temple, my second lane that I'll preach in for this purpose, that know it's capable, it's possible that this man can be changed, and they know somebody that can do it, because they've seen him do it. It would be amazing if one of those people that went to that church said, I know a man. His name is Jesus. He's been traveling all throughout of the region. If you're willing, I will carry you to where he is. But that's not in the text. What's in the text is that people were resolved also to being, watch me now, used to his disadvantage. And so instead of carrying him to Jesus, they carried him to the front of the church. Not even having enough sense to say, get in the church. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Look at your neighbor and say, how many folk are you passing by because you've got used to their disadvantage? Can I preach it how I feel it, or you going to get mad at me this month? I'm going to go preach on this side because I felt some kind of way. I felt shade on that side, so I'm going to come over here. How many folk are you passing by when you know a man that has the power to change their life and has the power to get them out of the disadvantage that they're in? Ain't nobody helping me in here. The reason why you're not helping me is because we've become accustomed to the disadvantaged. So much so that we will carry them to their disadvantaged life without saying, wait a second. Let's go somewhere else today. Let's go to a place where your life can be changed forever. Without even realizing that you don't even have to carry him somewhere anymore. Because the same power, ain't nobody helping me now. We've become accustomed to carrying the disadvantage while trying to get rid of our own. It's okay. I knew no one was going to shout on that first point, but it's all right. Could it be that we don't perceive, as Adler said, the leverage of weakness by discovering new strengths? I like that right there. Could it be that the perceived disadvantages, such as birth defects and physical ailments and poverty, and I wasn't going to touch on it, but I am. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend nobody, but I'm going there today. Not just physical ailments and physical defects, but also sexual identity. Could it be? Ain't nobody helping me with that. Could it be we've gotten so used to and accustomed to all of that that we fail to realize that some of those disadvantages are springboards, my God, to breakthroughs that we would have never discovered unless somebody went through that disadvantage? I'm preaching way better than y'all. Let's shout. Look at your name and say, Pastor, I ain't scared of you. Our greatest advantages may not be what we perceive as our greatest advantage. Our greatest advantage may actually be hidden in the greatest disadvantages if we learn how to leverage them. Oh, God, I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. Oh, God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. When you want to launch something, when you want to get something off the ground, you have to understand it. You have to have pressure to do so. And you have to have power at the same time, because you need the pressure, but you also need the power. When you have the power, you need a launching pad so that when you institute the power, there is no collateral damage. If we take a rocket, for instance, if you ever travel to Kennedy Space Center down in Florida, you will begin to understand what I'm talking about, because they have all of these abandoned launch sites. And you get to, on the tour, go and travel and look at the launch sites, and you begin to see how much work and how much effort they put into putting one thing into space. You begin to see all of the construction and the roadways that they had to build for the rocket to get to the launch pad. And then when you get to the launch pad, you would get to see the silo of which the fuel would burn out of the rocket and be disseminated through that silo so that there is no collateral damage, because when that power ignites, it's going to be a force to reckon with. And then you begin to see all of the scaffolding that's in place that is temporary, only to get the rocket off the ground. Ah, God, it looks like a spectacle, but it's only temporary. It only served the purpose, I feel like preaching to somebody, of getting this thing off the ground. In order for the rocket to get into the air, it has to have the power within it, but it has to have the pressure without. The pressure has to be pushing itself down, I feel like preaching, on the rocket, but the rocket says, I got enough power to get through the pressure. What I'm trying to tell you is that your disadvantages are the pressure that are needed for the power that's working in you to get you to your next atmosphere. I'm trying to tell you there is a different dimension in your life that you haven't even gotten to yet, baby, because you don't recognize and realize the power of the disadvantage. I know you don't recognize it because you're so busy trying not to have it. So busy trying to be a better you that you fail to realize there's power in that. For the Bible says, when we are weak, when we are weak, then we are strong. It doesn't say when we're weak, he's strong. That is a misrepresentation of scripture. What it says is that when we're weak, the Apostle Paul said, when we're weak, that's when we're strong. And so he went on to say, I glory in my infirmities. It's okay that I'm going through what I'm going through. It's okay that I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with. It's okay that I failed in this area. It's okay that I fell over here. I wish I had somebody to talk to, because there's a greater work that's happening internally that's going to give me the power to get myself off of where I am right now. Y'all not helping me out. I'm almost there. From Peter and John's perspective, you have to realize that they decide, that they are not going to see this man and let his disadvantage become their disadvantage. This is why God gave them the promise of the Holy Spirit in public. I can't get help. In other words, if God wanted to give you the power of the Holy Spirit in private so it can just be for your own personal edification, he could have did it in the back room in the backwoods somewhere. But he waited to a festival that all of Israel was going to, y'all ain't said nothing, to pour out his spirit on those 120 people. So much so that the entire crowd say, are you making fun of us? Are you mocking us? And Peter had to stand up and say, no, this is that the prophet Joel had talked about, and begin to preach the word of God with power for the very first time, because he was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says 3,000 people were added to the church. Now I got to go back to the church that I was raised in, that I was born in, and I can't go back there with the old mindset like everybody else. I can't pass the person that's disadvantaged. I got the power, y'all ain't said nothing, to pull them up. Because if I pass this person by, everybody in there gonna talk about me. They gonna say, didn't they get something? Didn't they get the stuff Jesus had? Weren't they the ones in the upper room? And all that, did they receive the promise of all the prophets and stuff that was talked about that we didn't understand? Don't they supposed to be showing us something different? Because if I don't see something different, I can find something else to do on a Sunday morning than sitting here for 2 or 3 hours. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. I'm preaching way better than y'all. If I don't see some distinction of power, I can find something else to do on a day like today. Oh, it's not football season, so y'all don't understand. Jesus didn't let them receive the power of God in private. He let them receive it in public so that it can be on public display, so that the compassion that was on the inside of them wouldn't allow them to miss the disadvantaged. Peter and John decides that, oh, no, Jack, I'm not walking in here without giving this man something. And I question not their motive in terms of what they did, but how they did it. Because because of the character that did it, Peter, of all people, who would have in past times cared nothing about some disadvantaged. God, that is the equivalent of you seeing them with the signs outside as you stroll past whatever roads you stroll past, because they're everywhere now. In the city, they're in Columbia, they're in Owens Mill, they're everywhere. And that's the equivalent of that. And seeing this man who has a real physical disadvantage. It's real. It's not fake. It's not hustling. It's a real deal. And Peter, with his history, Lord have mercy, will cut your ear off and cuss you out. But now he's walking and he sees this man, and the man cries out and asks for money. And Peter decides, nah, Jack, today I'm going to give you something better than that. So for me, So for me, it seems as though that his destiny is locked in his history. In other words, his history would suggest that he would not stop for an individual like this because Peter was selfish. But something happened to him in that upper room that gave him a certain sort of power and compassion to say, wait a second, I got the ability to get this man out of that disadvantaged situation. Because I remember when I was at a disadvantage. I wish I had somebody. And I remember where I was when the Lord found me. Because when he found me, though I was a successful business person, I was a sinful man. And the Lord discovered me in my worst condition. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. You don't even know. He didn't discover me when I was at the top of my game. He loved me while I was still a sinner. He found me when I was trying to figure it out. He discovered me. I wish I had somebody to help me out when I didn't know where I was going to go, who I was going to turn to, what I was going to be, how I was going to make it. Who am I preaching to in here? That's where he found me. So your destiny is locked in your history. And Peter looks out at the man. And he does something amazing. He says, look on us. Oh, God, stay with me. Just stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. Look on us. Look on us. I was going to take this another way, but I got to stay right here. Look on us. And the Bible says that the man looked up at them because he was expecting. He was expecting something from them. He was expecting something from them. He thought they was going to give him some money. This is how I know what he did was successful. And this is how I know the life in which he found himself in was all of a sudden common to him. He could never see himself doing anything else but this. He could never see his life being in a different trajectory. This is all he knew. And he convinced his circle around him to carry me to this spot because this is all I know. Look at your neighbor and say, he need to upgrade his circle. Look at him again and say, you might need to do the same thing. Because who's carrying you to your place of disadvantage that you have grown comfortable in? Who's picking you up and taking you to the same place to experience the same thing? I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. But today, he finds himself in the same place, but in unusual circumstances, because he has two individuals that have a history of God doing a work in their life that is about to unlock their personal destiny. Not only is it about to unlock their destiny, it's about to unlock the destiny of the man that was lame from his early years as he was born this way. The Bible says that when they looked at the man and said, look on us, the man turned and says, okay, what are you going to give me? Peter then stands and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Look at your neighbor and say, and nothing happened. Come on here. Come on, stay with me. I'm almost there. Look at him again and say, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Peter stood up and he did what he saw Jesus do. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, because God told him, I will give you power over everything, power over scorpions and serpents. He told him, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. He told them that when you ask God in my name concerning anything, that the Father will hear you and it will be given unto you. He told them, I'm going to send you another comforter, and he did, and everything Jesus said happened. Now they're exercising the power in which they have, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, and nothing happened. Y'all not helping me. Look at you, you are startled like, it didn't? No. He said, look on us. The man sitting there said, all right, what's up? And now Peter in preacher mode, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man looked at him and said, you see, you can't just read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. Huh? Peter made a declaration and the man didn't move. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I'm preaching better than y'all shout. And the man didn't move. He looked at him still. Then the Bible says something interesting. He reached down, oh God, and said, I'm not going to let you sit here because you didn't believe my words. I'm preaching better than y'all shout. He reached down into that man's destiny and said, if you can't get up, I'm going to pull you up. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, get ready to pull somebody up. And get ready for somebody to pull you up, because you've gotten so comfortable with the disadvantage, you don't know how to get up. Preacher, better than y'all shout. But God is about to send you somebody that's got the power to. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting in here. Slap your neighbor a high five. Say, get ready for a pull. Come on, get ready for a Holy Ghost pull. The man didn't move. So Peter said, no problem. He reached down with his right hand. God, I'm preaching better, y'all. How many of you would have had the audacity after you stood there in preacher mode? Let me do my best TD Jakes right now. In preacher mode. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. I can't get help from anybody. Rise up and walk. And the man looked at him like, dude, I'm lame on my feet. I'm born this way. I'm stuck like this. this ain't changing. This is what God intended for my life. This is my lot. This is my slate. This is the hand I've been dealt. This is all I'm going to be. This is all I ever am. I cannot walk. I cannot move. And Peter looked at him and said, not today, baby. I'm pulling you out of all of your history into your destiny. Slap your name and say, you're getting pulled out of your history into your destiny. God, who am I preaching to in here? The Holy Ghost is about to pull you out of a mindset that you got yourself in to believe that you were disadvantaged and that you aren't going to make it. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm walking out of here. Not only am I walking, I'm going to leap and praise God on my way. Woo, I feel like preaching to somebody in here. The Bible says that the man, hallelujah, looked at him, and as he saw his arm come down, something had to trigger in the mind of the man that had to say, maybe today is the day that what God, oh my God, that what God allowed me to see in others happens in my life today. Maybe today I no longer had to sit at a beautiful gate, but I can have a beautiful life. Maybe today I no longer had to sit and watch people pass me by. And Peter reached out with his hand and extended it to the man, because sometimes when you've been disadvantaged for so long, even when you get a word that says you can get up, you don't know how to start. What the man didn't know is that Peter and John was the launch pad that was built to get him off the ground. What he didn't know, oh God, I'm preaching about your shout. What he didn't know, that all that God did in Peter and John's life was going to be to the impact of his life. That's how Jesus could walk past this man and mark him and said, I got a time and date for you, but I don't need to do it. Y'all ain't said nothing. I'm going to let them do it because it's going to bring a greater glory. Y'all ain't said nothing here. And so the man sat there and had to look at Jesus going to the temple and go, bruh, what's up, bruh? Jesus said, no, I got a time and I got a place. Because Jesus knew, now he said nothing, because of his condition and his disadvantage, that his disposition would have him still there, come on, at a future date. Y'all ain't said nothing. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. He knew that man wasn't going nowhere. Y'all ain't said nothing. And Peter and John had to be built, y'all ain't said nothing, to be able to pull this man up out of his disadvantaged condition. Who are you being built for? What is God doing in your life that's about to be so great that you're going to have the power to pull people out of their disadvantage? Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm being built for my destiny. I'm being built for my purpose. I'm being built for what God intended for me to do. All the hell I've been going through has a greater weight of glory that's about to enter into my... Slap your neighbor and say, I'm built for this, baby. Come on, when you go into work on tomorrow, you're going to walk in there and say, I'm built for this. I feel like preaching to somebody in here. Y'all give me 5 minutes and I'll get you home. He reached down to grab the man. And when he reached down to grab the man had to have the audacity and a change in disposition to say, I'm going to reach back up. And he reached back up and he grabbed his hands. Now, here's the miracle. When he grabbed Peter's hand, the Bible says Peter gave him a jump start. It was almost like a battery being connected to a power source. The man had it in him the whole time, but it was dormant. There's some dormant things on the inside of you. There's some dormant visions. There's some dormant dreams. There's some dormant ideas. There's some dormant gifts. There's some dormant capabilities that are on the inside of you. But by the end of this service, when the Holy Spirit reaches down and grab you, there's going to be a power transfer to your life and make everything come alive all at once. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Slap your name and say, get ready for everything to come alive in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. The devil is alive. Slap your name and say, it's about to come alive. It's been dormant for a long time. Your praise has been dormant. Your prayer life has been dormant. Your reading of the word has been dormant. Your witness has been dormant. But by the time we finish, power transfer. The man reached down, grabbed his hand. And when he grabbed his hand and pulled him up, the Bible says, the man jumped up and immediately, somebody shout, immediately. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. Somebody do it again. Shout immediately. When Peter received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it came suddenly. God told me to tell you, you're not about to experience suddenly, but you are about to experience immediately. The moment you decide to jump up and go get what God said you're supposed to have, he said, I'm going to do it immediately. Who am I preaching to? The moment you start, immediately he'll bless it. Immediately he'll favor it. Hold on, I got a 10-second praise break for myself. Just for myself. Somebody shout, immediately. I'm right where I want to be, baby. Shout it again, immediately. Immediate healing. Immediate increase. Immediate favor. Who am I preaching to in here? Immediate breakthrough. Immediate miracle. I'm talking to somebody. I'm prophesying. Immediate job. Immediate house. I feel an anointing in here. Immediately. Oh God, that's a word. That's a word. That's a word. That's a word. Somebody shout right now, right now. The moment I decide to take a step into my destiny, immediately. Watch this now. Here's the shocker. All the people that pass the disadvantaged man by is in church. I'm going to take my jacket off for that one. All the people that pass the disadvantaged man by are in church. They don't expect nothing different. When they come outside, they expect to see the man. As a matter of fact, they're going to go out the side door, so they don't have to encounter the disadvantage. But what they don't know is the disadvantage is about to join them for service. For the Bible says that when he pulled the man up, that immediately his ankles and the bones in his foot got strength. That the man didn't have to learn to walk. You don't hear what I'm saying. Don't you know atrophy should have set in? That man should have had to go through therapy to figure out how to try to walk after many years. But when you get an immediate anointing, you know how to get it done. You ain't got to figure it out. And the Bible says that as he started walking, he said, wait a second. I can leap too. Slap your name and say, you're going to have a walking start and you're going to have a leaping start. I feel it an old ticket here. Somebody shout, I leap for joy. Don't y'all sit on this. Don't y'all sit on this. When it immediately comes, you walk into what people say you were never going to walk into. You walk into a place that nobody is expecting you to show up. And when you get in there, the Bible says not only did he walk, but he started leaping. And he didn't have to take long to start praising the Lord. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I got a praise for an immediate breakthrough right about now. And if you believe God is about to give you an immediate breakthrough, you should go to walking. You should go to leaping. You should go to praising. You should go to walking. You should go to leaping. You should go to praising. You should go to walking. You should go to, ah, God, I feel anointed. You should go to pray. Slap your neighbor and say, I got to walk this thing out, baby. I got to leap this thing out. I got to praise this thing out. You're late. You're late. Ah! Immediately. God, I feel that anointing. Immediately. Listen to me. I'm not trying to hype you. And we got to go because I want to be fair and get you out of here. I'm not trying to hype you. I promise you that. I'm telling you. What you experience as a disadvantage is about to work to your advantage. Who am I? If I'm talking to anybody, if I'm talking to anybody, shout now. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, excuse me. I'm sorry. But that man just told me that when I decide to grab the hand of the Holy Spirit and pull myself out of the disadvantage that I got myself in, that God was about to show up immediately. And I'm going to be able to walk into it. I'm going to be able to leap into it. And I'm going to be able to praise my way into it. So excuse me. If I take 60 seconds to do that. You better walk. You better leap. You better praise. You better walk. You better leap. You better praise. You better walk. You better leap. You better praise. You better walk. You better leap. You better praise. Oh, God, I'm feeling it up. Don't you sit in that chair. You better get your 30 seconds in there. There's a pull. There's a pull. Ah! Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I know we gotta go. I know we gotta go. But listen, look, I don't care. I don't even care about time. Look, look, look. Real quick, real quick, real quick. We got a lot of snow this year, and I got this snowblower. I love this snowblower, man. And so I got this snowblower, and it has a pull start, right? Right? And it comes with a pull start. But me being me, because I like to start stuff so fast, I wasn't thorough in the direction reading. And all the men said amen to that. Because we know what we're doing right. Till we break it. So I'm pulling this thing, right? I got the oil in there. I got the fuel. It's got all the power it needs. And it's big enough, you know, for like 4 feet of snow. So I'm just, man. Make me feel like, you know. And here I am, you know. Yeah. So one time, because it was sitting for a while and, you know, then you got to prime the thing. And so I pull yeah. I'm like, man, this thing ain't working. And I looked up and the cord is in my hand. So I'm sitting there going, do I or do I not tell my wife? Maybe I can just call somebody to come clear the driveway and just told her I took care of it. So I'm sitting there with this cord in my hand going, Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says to me, would you look down at the thing? I said, why? He says, there's a push start. I feel the Holy Spirit said, dummy, there's a button that you push on the side. And all you have to do is connect it to some power. Push it. Disconnect. And the power runs on its own because it's self-propelled. You've been trying to pull yourself. Then you broke it. I'm preaching way better than yourself. But God put something in you. It's called a push start. And he says, when you connect to my power, I wish I had somebody in here and decide to push the thing. Your praise is the equivalent of a push start. Now we gotta go, but I'm gonna give you 60 more seconds to push the button by giving God a hallelujah, a thank you, Jesus, a glory to God. You ain't gotta wait. You start pushing the button right now. Push! Push! Push!